Prescott. I demand that. Swiftly and surely, tidy it up.
We're doing all we can, Mr. Acton.
No local villain can get away with this. Burgling my house, ransacking my library.
Of course, we can't be sure the culprit is a local man.
Well, it hardly seems the work of a city professional, does it? Does it?
Perhaps not. But I do try not to leap to conclusions.
You don't seem to leap to anything. Stroll, more like.
Well, we have been able to establish from the inventory you provided for us and from our interviews with your servants.
Which took long enough. They have work to do, you know.
Yes, sir. We've established exactly what the thief made off with.
Which is?
An odd assortment.
Tell me then, what's missing?
Two plated candlesticks, an ivory letterweight, one volume of Pope's Homer, a small oak barometer, and...
And what?
And a ball of twine, sir.
The Reigate Squires by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by Robert Forrest. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Peter Davison as Inspector Forrester. With Struan Roger, Roger Hammond, and Terence Edmund. The Reigate Squires.
It was on the 14th of April, 1887, that I received a telegram from Lyon, informing me that Sherlock Holmes was lying ill in the Hotel Doulon. Within 24 hours, I was in his sick room. His iron constitution had broken down under the strain of his investigation into the colossal schemes of Baron Maupertuis, the most accomplished swindler in Europe. Holmes' exertions had been immense and had extended over 2 months. Now his hotel room was literally ankle-deep in congratulatory telegrams, but I found him prey to the blackest depression.
Well, all done. And I'm happy to say there's nothing at all formidable in your symptoms.
Yes, so the local quacks already told me. Rather brusquely.
Exhaustion, Holmes, complete exhaustion.
Yes, completely. So complete. Norman?
Almost what, old man?
Oh, very good. You frighten the man. Such weariness.
You can rest here. It's an attractive, quiet place. You can lie here and bask in the knowledge that all Europe is ringing with your name.
Oh, I'm weary of all that, too.
Sherlock Holmes, weary of adulation.
You're a specter of a one. The fellow I put behind bars has more intelligence than all of them put together.
There's a telegram here from royalty.
The working secretary, no doubt.
This will pass, Holmes. Give yourself time. A week or two. Then you'll be back on your feet.
I'm glad you've come, Watson.
I'm happy to be here.
Yes. You can make the arrangements.
What arrangements?
For the journey. I intend to leave here tomorrow. Another hour, Watson. Only one more hour, and we'll be back in London. My city. Streets, river, the voices, all the criminals and narcs there to welcome me home.
Mrs. Hudson will welcome you home.
Yes, it might even be a pleasure to see Inspector Lestrade again.
I hope it will be some time before he comes calling.
I'll take your advice, old man. Never fear. Doctor's orders, friend's advice. I just you wait. You'll watch me thrive. Resurrected. The moment we pull into Victoria. Just wait and see.
And I did see. Within an hour of his arrival at Baker Street, Holmes relapsed into that dreadful lethargy, that weak and melancholy state that had so alarmed me in Lyon, and alarmed him too, I think. What he might do to try to escape from that condition was cause for extreme concern. I thought some change of surroundings might help, a week of springtime in the country, perhaps. But I knew trips to the country with no villain to pursue held no attractions for Holmes. Some diplomacy was needed.
Holmes, do you recall a friend of mine, Reginald Acton?
Yeah, Reginald.